This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Illini Enquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner back with you, continuing our position preview series. We're doing two positions at a time. We started off with quarterbacks and running backs. Go back, listen to that one. That was a fun one to do. Joey, we're a couple days later. I still feel confident in my prediction of Luke Altmyer as the starting quarterback. BTN was at practice the other day. We're recording this on August 18th. BTN was there on the 17th. So before we dive into the wide receivers and tight ends, did you learn anything from BTN, which has seen probably a little bit more practice than even we have?
I did not. I heard there was a delay in airing it for a weather delay in a soccer game, which I don't think went over very well among a fan base trying to watch that. Yeah. No, not really. They really played up the quarterback competition, and I'm with you. I don't think it's as much as being led on in a quarterback competition, Jeremy, but not really. Not didn't learn a lot.
We did hear that John Paddock seems likely to be the backup. Barry Lunny in his interview was saying, you know, those guys had the most experience and that is shining through. So I expect Altmyer and Paddock to be the top two options with Leary, the guy behind them. But again, they do value Donovan Leary a lot. The other thing, Aaron Henry talking about the safeties, man, he mentioned every one of them. Miles Scott got a shout out. Joey, you wrote about Miles Scott. I think he has a real chance to start. I've seen Clayton Bush at least go out there with the ones at one point, but Demetrius Hill and Nakario Harper seem right in the mix. That is the hardest position for me to predict right now. You know, Geske and Slaughter, I kind of go back and forth on where I want to go there. I know you think Geske's going to be the guy. I kind of side with you. I had Slaughter in my last depth chart, but safety, I think all four of those guys are going to play, but figuring that one out is the toughest one for me right now.
Yeah, we can't see anything, and you look at like a guy like Demetrius Hill could be both. A lot of ways we thought Matthew Bailey, Brett Bielema kind of debunked that a little bit earlier this training camp and sees him more there. But so you got like Demetrius Hill who can play both. We think Miles Scott is more of a free safety. Maybe a nickel would suit him. If you just depending on what you do with Xavier Scott, we think Clayton Bush is more of a free safety. There's just a lot of guys who can do a few things, and it's very hard to sort through that.
Yeah, Nakario Harper seems like a legit strong safety. I think Miles Scott's going to be a free safety. You know, I know he practiced a little bit at corner in the spring. Demetrius Hill has told me he's been practicing strong safety, boundary safety. So I think that's probably where he's got his best chance. He looks the best. Like physically, he looks the most impressive, kind of like Matthew Bailey, so that can make sense. But I think that's the most interesting competition moving forward. Anything else you want to get to before we start on wide receiver? Very interesting position here, Joe. Anything else you want to update on?
Not that I can think of. They're going to scrimmage. We're recording this on Friday, the 18th. They're going to scrimmage later tonight. It's going to be as game-like as can be. The coaches who are going to be in the box are going to be in the box. On-field coaches are going to be on field. I think Barry Lunny was in the box last year, Jeremy, if I remember correctly. Aaron Henry will not be. Aaron Henry's going to be on the field, he told me last week, and I think he said that previously in the spring. But I don't know if they're going to be full health for that. Zy Chrisler, Casey Washington. It doesn't sound like those are long-term. No. Brett Bielema said if they don't go Friday, they'll be back on Tuesday. Look, guys like Casey Washington, I'm not saying you don't need practice, but if you could elevate a guy like a Malik Elzey, a Sean Miller into a bigger role and stress those guys, you know what you're getting with Casey Washington. Zy Chrisler, you'd like to see him go out there and get more reps at right tackle because he's been limited, but it sounds to me the long-term injuries still are intermediate term, I guess would probably be a more fair way to put it, is Matthew Bailey. We don't know if he's going to be ready for Toledo, but other than that, they're kind of getting through this thing okay.
Yeah, and this is, they're only allowed two scrimmages, full-blown scrimmages during the fall. So this is the last one. This is a really important one. When it comes to some of those position battles we're talking about, if you're Jordan Slaughter, you better bring it today. And if you're one of those safeties, I think you got to bring it. And I think Tyler Strain's probably pretty safe at corner, but that's another guy. I think, you know, if you want to make the rotation, you want to solidify or move up, I think this is really the last opportunity to do so. And Brett Bielema reiterated 2 weeks out is when he would likely name a starting quarterback, or everybody in the building would know. Saturday is 2 weeks out. So whether he announces it Saturday or Monday or Wednesday or whenever he does, we should have a pretty good idea within the next couple days of who the starting quarterback will be.
Do you have odds on a press release or media availability with Bielema to learn this? I can see a Twitter QB1 type thing.
I was going to say a post on X would be my favorite, probably. Bielema just decided last year, he told the spokesman, Brett Moore, about a minute before he announced it, hey, I'm going to do this at the media session. I think they're going to have more, they like to have more of a social buildup so that the moment he says it, they can tweet it out. They can do all those things, have the graphic.
I don't even know if he needs us. Just tweet it. Didn't they do that? Remember when Brandon Peters won on a different staff in 2019? I think it was just a post.
Yeah.
But hey, that's our quarterback.
Which is fine with me. I think we know where this is going.
I don't care. Frankly, for us, it's easier.
We have a story ready. Just to let you know.
I was going to say, like, for us, it's easier because we're recording video, so you can't, like, cut that and tweet it out. It's also, I mean, it's just a lot easier when it's a post and you can file out the story and move along.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's talk about wide receivers, Joey. Another sexy position. We will get to what I think is the sexiest part of this preview series, offensive line, defensive line, coming up. But wide receiver has obviously not been a strength of Illinois for a very long time, and I would include that last year. Isaiah Williams had a breakthrough year. Pat Bryan and Brian Hightower were solid, really, you know, better than what Illinois had on the perimeter in previous years. You know, Matur Bebe had a good year there, but I just looked this up, Joey. The last time Illinois had two receivers with 500-plus yards in the same season was 2015. That was Geronimo Allison had 882, and Malik Turner had 510. Desmond Cain also had 492 that year. And the year previously they did too, with Dudek and Allison. You know, Turner was part of that group. That was the last wide receiver group that I thought Illinois had that had the chance to be one of the top half groups of the Big Ten. But I think the main storyline of this wide receiver group is George McDonald's impressive buildup of this wide receiver room. Like, we know he inherited Isaiah Williams, basically inherited Pat Bryant and Casey Washington. Washington transfers for a bit, comes back. That's about all that's left, right, from that group. Remember his first spring, they had Caleb Griffin there. They had moved Isaiah Williams there. It was a hodgepodge of what they had at wideout, moved Deuce Spann there at that time. But what he's done in recruiting with adding Hank Beatty, Sean Miller, Ashton Hollins, Ian Pugh, Malik Elzey, Kenari Wilcher, Colin Dixon, Alex Capta-Jones. There's very few positions. I mean, a lot of these positions have gone through huge turnover, and quarterback's one of them, but wide receiver's right up there.
It is. I wrote about this last week, earlier this week. I don't even remember anymore. So when Brett Bielema, like, we've always heard about that meeting after the Penn State game, and he comes in and does his thing, and everyone rah-rahs and is happy. Casey Washington was the only wide receiver that's on this roster that would have been in that meeting because he hit the portal in January. I mean, it's been a complete turnover. Some of that comes just obviously, right? It's the third year.
Yeah.
Like, there's a timeline on college athlete or football players, athletes. But they've really, like, outside of the new faces, the talent. Malik Elzey, top 300. Kenari Wilcher, top 800. Colin Dixon, 823. That's in the class of 2023. You go back to 2022, and they were still trying to get this thing off the ground a little bit. Sean Miller was a big win, top 800 kid. Ian Pugh, top 800 kid. Hank Beatty, Ashton Hollins, not rated as highly. But, guys, Hank Beatty was extremely productive when he was a wide receiver in high school. Ashton Hollins, we've seen the traits, and we knew, like, hey, he's probably going to take a minute to develop in this system. Then you add in an Alex Capka-Jones, and you Isaiah Williams. Like, Isaiah Williams in that meeting, we want a wide receiver. Pat Bryant was committed to the staff but he hadn't met Brett Bielema to that point. So you've seen the talent influx of this. I think some of that's just George McDonald's well respected at his position. He's good at building relationships. I think Barry Lunney makes it in this offense, makes it more attractive to be a wide receiver at Illinois. Now, you've got to develop those guys. You've got to get them experience in games, but the talent has really increased in that room.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I've flipped more on a position group about the long-term future more than wide receiver, because, I mean, outside linebacker wasn't even a position, right, when they got here. And then, you know, offensive line certainly feel good about what they're building on the offensive line, but receiver, the talent they've accrued, like, I think long-term, especially with a guy like Elzy who's going to play right away, I think Kenari Wilshere is going to play right away. We're starting to see Sean Miller get back into this mix. Hank Beatty is going to play a big role on this team. And then you've seen the development of Isaiah Williams. Like, we've seen George do this before, convert a quarterback into a really good receiver. Jacoby Myers, pretty good player at NC State and now in the NFL, just got a nice big contract. Isaiah Williams developing into this type of wide receiver wasn't a given, and George has done a really good job with that. Casey Washington, just really rock solid, everything you want in a team guy, great blocker, great hands, maybe not the most explosive, but just what you want in your program. And Pat Bryant took a huge step forward. I liked him as a prospect in that weird class of 2021, but the development has been good, and then you add the recruiting. I think George McDonald, we thought, was a really good hire. I think he's starting to prove that, and we'll get into it about what they can do this year, but I think this group can take a big leap.
Yeah, it's not – We've obviously talked about the quarterbacks, right, and how that's been an issue. Wide receiver hasn't been far behind offensively in terms of talent in there. So, yeah, it's impressive what they've done. I think you can still, obviously, and we'll talk about it, show more explosiveness, continue to be more attractive to prospects, to recruits. But the way that they're – like, this got off the ground fairly quickly after the Tony Peterson ordeal.
Yeah.
But, man, this has been pretty solid. The next step is getting those guys on the field.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All right, my big question, the big question about this group, can they be more explosive? Isaiah Williams led the Big Ten in yards after catch. A lot of that's where he catches the ball, screen passes, behind the line of scrimmage with these shovel passes. But he was explosive. We saw at points, like, he was their big play guy. Brian Hightower could catch it down the field and go win a jump ball. Pat Bryant could do that at times. But there wasn't just a lot of explosiveness after the catch. Yards after the catch, Isaiah Williams, number one in the Big Ten. Then you had Hightower, Bryant, and Casey Washington among qualified Big Ten wide receivers were bottom six out of 46. So they need to get more explosive after the catch. That's part of the reason they wanted to get a guy like Malik Elzey and Kenari Wilcher and maybe put Isaiah Williams in a little bit different of a role as a field stretcher. They have to get more explosive because Tommy DeVito was accurate. He just, you know, look at Justin Fields the other day. The best friend of a quarterback is, one, somebody who can catch the ball, go get it, but also make a play after he catches it. Outside of Isaiah Williams, there just wasn't enough of that, Joey.
No, there wasn't. And I think Pat Bryant is the one that I would circle as somebody to be in that conversation this year. You've seen them, or you've heard, I should say, them kind of take steps. Obviously, year two with Barry Lunny should lend itself to more explosive plays. But you've seen them kind of talk about moving Isaiah Williams around the field, moving him outside. That's to unlock more explosive plays, to move Pat Bryant inside, to take advantage of mismatches in that slot. That's to unlock more explosive plays. There's a reason we're talking about Kenari Wilcher as a freshman who might be able to break in the rotation and contribute. He's really, really fast, and you're trying to unlock more explosive plays. And then Malik Elzey. Like that's another guy. You would circle Pat Bryant. You would circle Malik Elzey. I think you know with Isaiah Williams, there's another level where you have an idea that he's going to be able to be somebody who can make some explosive plays. How many remains to be seen. But if you're looking for who, those would be my two guys, Malik Elzey, Pat Bryant, as somebody who can be more downfield stretches. I'm really interested to see how much Pat Bryant's in the slot, to see if he can do anything differently there. But you're seeing them take steps to try to break that open a little bit more.
Yeah, because Pat Bryant can move the chains in that slot position, right? If he gets on an undersized nickel or whatever it is, I mean, it's against a Quan Martin, that would be difficult. But if it's more an undersized nickel, he could post up on those guys, maybe break a tackle. But Isaiah Williams, I didn't know if they used him enough as a down-the-field threat last year. And it's because I don't know if they thought they had another slot guy. Now they do. Like Hank Beatty's emergence. I talked to George about him the other day. I think we forget because he put up record-breaking numbers as a sophomore at Rochester in that offense with Derek Leonard, which is so good. He was a quarterback in high school. Those last 2 years, he was a quarterback. And I asked George, how big of a transition was it? Because he played wide receiver more than Isaiah Williams. But he said it was basically the same big of a transition as Isaiah had. Because while he played wide receiver 2 years ago, he wasn't as refined as some of these other guys. So, you know, we know Hank has great hands. But last year, from what I've gathered from George, the route running wasn't great. But now he understands route running. He understands leverage a little bit more, how to create separation. So I think you're going to see Hank Beatty play more in that slot, and it allows them to use Isaiah in different ways. That said, you still want to use Isaiah on these screens and shovel passes and, you know, the mesh concepts where you're basically doing pick routes. But I also think you can use Isaiah as just a vertical threat a little bit more because he can gain that separation. Kenari Wilcher, can he get a role as that? I think Ashton Hollins can play that deuce span role a little bit. So they have to be more of a deep threat. I think Luke Altmyer will help. I think he's a better deep ball, more touch than Tommy DeVito had. But you also just need these guys to make more plays. So Malik Elzey is going to play. He's going to play. I think he's more talented than Casey Washington. He's not as reliable yet on all those other things, but he's a physical player. He's a talented player. He's going to see the field. This is just the most talented group they have, and on top of having those three returning starters, I don't know if it all comes together this year, but I do think this group takes a step forward in that regard.
Do you get Donnie Navarro-like vibes with Hank Beatty? Just the way they talk about his ability to get open and maximize. And he's not the biggest dude in the world, but I kind of get those similar vibes.
Yeah, and I think Hank's faster, right? Yeah. I think Hank's faster, probably a little bit better of an athlete, probably bigger right now than what Donnie was. Donnie was a craftsman, right? Like, I kind of think Casey Washington like that as well. They got the most of their ability. I think Hank's got a little bit more twitchiness to him. Yeah. So, yeah. But that's a valuable piece. Like, if that's the fourth or fifth guy in your rotation, that's a very valuable piece, especially if it lets you take Isaiah Williams around. So that I think the competition here, we'll talk more about it with the depth chart here, the competition is certainly improved for reps. The fact that, like, hey, if Casey Washington doesn't make big plays for you at some point, Malik Elzey might steal his reps, right? Or if Pat Bryant struck, Malik Elzey can steal his reps. I think that's huge for this group.
It is. I want to touch on the point you made. Like, I don't know if it'll all come together this year. Neither do I. But I feel a lot better like for Illinois that Casey Washington, someone like him, that you have those three starters back and you're not asking Malik Elzey to walk in here as a freshman and step into that role, or you're not asking Sean Miller as a redshirt freshman coming off of injuries that at least limited him on the field to step into one of those three roles, or Alex Kapka-Jones. Like Casey Washington, and probably gets overlooked, but his presence I think still is really, really important to this team, and it allows maybe a little bit more of a natural progression for some of those younger guys to step in to bigger roles. For as talented as Malik Elzey is, and as physically ready as he looks, and as much as the staff is not exactly eager to pour cold water on some of the hype that's building around him, do you really want to have to rely on a true freshman to step in there?
The fact that Illinois doesn't have to is a step in the right direction. But
right now, if it's October, if it's like October and Malik Elzey's just somebody you cannot have off the field, that's great.
Yeah.
But like I like the fact that they can slowly build to that if that's what it comes to. And that's why I think having Casey Washington back, Pat Bryant back, Isaiah Williams back, outside of the production, especially for the latter two, that's big.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, if you have an injury, you got other guys. Like
if they had an injury in past years, it was tough sledding.
I mean, if Isaiah Williams had been injured at any point last year, right? Like what else are they doing? Like, you know, Pat Bryant and Brian Hightower could move the chains a little bit, but you just became so less dynamic. Like, listen, if Isaiah Williams gets hurt this year, that changes things. He's so good. Like, I feel like sometimes we don't talk enough about how good he is. He could be a 1,000-yard receiver. He could be a 100-catch receiver this year. That's how good he can be. But Hank Beatty's a playable guy. Kenari Wilcher could play for you. Malik Elzey could play for you. Maybe Pat Bryant's your slot guy after that. Like, you have guys that I think you can go and succeed with. Even if, you know, one of those other guys gets hurt, like Ashton Hollins has made some plays in training camp and has really good tools. Sean Miller, a guy we thought was going to play a lot last year, is coming back from injury. And while I don't know if he's 100% back to being Sean Miller, he's got a chance. So I think this group has a chance to take as big of a step forward as almost any on this team.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a great point about Isaiah Williams. Chase Brown was the focal point of this offense. Isaiah Williams was the one you could least afford to lose last year. And now we're not to your point, we're not trying to say like, if he gets hurt, they're fine. That is not the case either. But I think you're better equipped to figure your way around that than you were a year ago.
I think Isaiah would be neck and neck with Chase. I mean, Tommy obviously would have been the number one guy. But yeah, I agree. I agree with the sentiment there. All right, let's talk about the depth chart. I think it's no doubt the starters, Casey Washington, Pat Bryant, Isaiah Williams. It's great to have all three of those guys back. Who else is in the rotation, Joey? What's your guess right now?
Well, you spoiled it earlier when you said Malik Elzey's going to play. I think Malik Elzey is in the rotation. I think Hank Beatty is in the rotation.
That would be my top five. That would be my top five right there.
Right. And then you, for that six through generously eight, let's say, you have guys like Sean Miller, Alex Kapka-Jones, Ashton Hollins, and Kenari Wilcher trying to find the role. I think that's kind of like the tiers for me.
Yeah, Kenari Wilcher had a really strong spring. He's really explosive. Him and Ashton Hollins are kind of the guys that I think are going to get some reps. I don't know how often, but you put them out there for a few plays, and they can be that Deuce Spann big play threat. They're like, nobody's scouted. Nobody knows who they are. But, man, like Luke Altmaier's going to know, I'm going to look at them. That's the first read. And then if I have to drop it off, because those guys can get on top of a defense. So those guys could be interesting to see if they get used. Alex Kapka-Jones feels like the red zone guy. Just big, long. He's not the strongest, but just long, great hands and ball skills. Feels like he's got like a 6'7", 6'8", wingspan. I think Malik Elzey would be above him right now, but he's an interesting piece. And then after that, I do think the top five is pretty certain. But the competition of that depth is going to be fun. We'll mention some of the other guys that are still developing. Like Sean Miller, I'm really interested to see if he gets a role here. Because he is versatile. He can play the slot. He can play on the outside. He's kind of a refined player. And he was going to play last year. How much, I don't know. But He's just kind of a really good overall player. So I know you talked to him, Joey, coming back from injury. Feels like he's getting back. It's just hard to count on a guy who's had two really major injuries, collarbone and a knee.
Yeah, it's tough. And to be limited, I remember George McDonald last year said there were, like, to keep him engaged, he would give him, like, advanced scouting on cornerbacks to just present to George that week, game week. And I asked Sean, like, that's helpful to be able to take that now and translate it, be out of the green jersey, the green non-contact jersey. But, yeah, I mean, you've lost a year of on-the-field things. He had his first spring, and it was the last practice of spring before the spring game that he breaks his collarbone. So we didn't see him in that spring game. He's limited to come into training camp. He finds his way there. And then he partially tears his ACL. He said it's the first play. PFF says he played two snaps. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's first drive of his college career in the first game. And then that's the end of that. So it's hard to project for him what that looks like on the field. But to your point, he was the guy who last year was polished. He was a very polished receiver. He was a guy that schools coveted. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a top 800 kid that schools really coveted to get on campus, and it fell Illinois' way to land him. But yeah, he's kind of a wild card to me because I know he's talented, I know he's polished, I know he's smart, and we just haven't seen him. Yeah. Right? That's the thing.
Yeah, predicting that 6 through 8 is like who gets the sixth spot, who's the seventh. Like, I don't know what the order of that's going to be, but it's certainly an improvement. Like, you think of a guy like Colin Dixon, who's a really good recruit. Really good recruiting win. Versatile. He's playing the slot now, George McDonald told me the other day. So I do think he's a developmental guy this year, but this is the type of prospect that 2 or 3 years ago probably would have played right away, given the talent dearth they had at this position. They just didn't have enough talent at this position under Lovie Smith. Like, that staff just did not recruit enough talent at this position. Colin Dixon was as good as any most wide receivers that the Lovie Smith staff recruited. You don't have to count on him right away. Like, Ian Pugh was a really good recruiting win. And George told me, like, these guys come in with expectations. Some need to develop. He still seems like Ian Pugh, he thinks, can turn into something really good. He really thinks Colin Dixon can. But those guys are, like, the final scholarship guys on the depth chart. Like, that's, again, just a sign of how much more talented this group is getting.
It's weird to say out loud, isn't it? Like, that's the thing. When a kid commits, you always think, hey, he's going to – like, that's the natural feeling of a fan. How can he contribute right away? Which is great because that's what recruiting is. But there is a developmental time, and to allow that to happen naturally, again, it's the growth of this room because they've added the talent in there. It was natural for some guys, Malik Elzey, Hank Beatty, is get out there early and often. And I think we saw that with Hank. I think we'll see that with Malik too.
All right, reasonable expectations for the Illinois wide receiver group, Joey. I'm just going to go with this. Phil Steele in his magazine had Illinois ranked the 8th best receiving group in the Big Ten. And as I go across the West, he's got Minnesota 3, Wisconsin 4. So that'd be the 3rd best group in the Big Ten West. Wisconsin added a lot of talent there. I haven't looked into Minnesota's. All that much, so I'll look at that here in a minute. But 8th, top 3 in the Big Ten West, I think that's really reasonable. Like, that would be, for me, like, I think that'd be a huge step for Illinois, but I do think it's reasonable given the talent. Like, Isaiah Williams, they think he's an NFL player. They think Pat Bryant's going to have a chance at the NFL. And then you add developing underclassmen, including a 4-star prospect in Malik Elzey.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think if you look reasonable yard, like, can we break it down by yard thought? I think Isaiah Williams had 715 last year. You and I both think that's going to go up. Now, he's probably going to try to flirt, and he should be in the conversation to flirt with 1,000. But then it's that 500. Who is in that 500 mark? Last year, the closest, Pat Bryant, 453.
He'll get
very
there.
Very reasonable.
If he's healthy, reasonable. He'll get there.
Yes. Brian Hightower, 452. Can you have two or three 500-yard guys on this offense? Is that reasonable to you?
All right, if you had to pick another guy, if a third player gets 450 yards or 400-plus yards, who is it?
Now that's where it gets tough because Casey Washington had 306 last year, and I don't know that I feel comfortable saying Malik Elzey for 500 at this point.
If a third guy gets that, it's Malik Elzey for me.
I agree. And Malik Elzey would feel probably pretty comfortable.
Malik Elzey told me 600 yards. He said, I'm going to be a freshman All-American. I'm going to get 600 yards, 5 touchdowns. I don't know if I go that high. Like, we've been talking. You don't want to set the expectations too high. I don't know if Malik gets there. If Malik got 350 to 400 yards, that's a pretty dang good season for a freshman wide receiver. Like, Malik Turner was more raw than Malik Elzey. It wasn't the pedigree, but they're similar bodies, similar types. Malik's probably a better athlete, probably a little bit bigger than Malik Turner was at that time, but he was close. Malik's probably a little bit faster, but Malik Turner had – Malik Elzey is older than Malik Turner. Turner had 250 yards as a freshman, and he was kind of raw. Like, I think if that's, like, the baseline, I think Malik tops that no matter what this year. But if he tops that, that's a really good freshman season. But great blocker. I think we should mention that. This group is pretty good.
The chains guy, dude. Casey can hands, move the chains.
Hands. He knows this offense in and out. There's a ton of value to Casey Washington. I just don't know if the guy's never scored a touchdown. He's around 10 yards per carry or 9 yards per catch, 10 yards per catch. I think Malik Elzey's a guy that's 12-plus, 13-plus yards per catch. Definite red zone guy. I just think he's more explosive, so I think he's got a better chance of reaching that. But I think their numbers would be probably pretty similar.
Yeah, I'm with you. Since we're talking expectations, I want to ask, because I think we, as we've talked on here or just among ourselves, how have your expectations for Malik Elzey changed? Like, the way you thought he could approach? Basically, for me, it's been since media day.
Yeah.
But how have yours changed?
I mean, I've always been such a fan of his. I've told the story, but I went and saw Jordan Anderson and Malachi Hood, their first game of their senior season, and they were playing Simeon. And to be honest with you, I didn't know if Illinois was going to have a chance to land him, because Michigan was recruiting Malik, all these other big schools. And Illinois just had to prove something offensively. But what stood out to me with Malik was not only was he explosive, had a big catch. JCA was dominating Simeon at the time. JCA was loaded, and they still are. But on defense, he was so physical. And to me, that said, this guy's a football player. He's physical. Like, I think he's going to be able to play right away. So I always had high expectations for him, but you're right. The way they've talked about him, the way Isaiah Williams has said, this guy's different. And Isaiah's different, right? Like, he's a little bit different than all these other. He's more talented than Pat Bryant. He's more talented than Casey Washington. He's more talented really than anybody in that room. He's probably the best NFL prospect wide receiver. Now he's got to produce like it, but the staff also, I mean, and we see that Casey Washington was out yesterday. Malik Elzey's taking his place at the front of lines in these position drills, which shows he's going to play. He's going to play a big role. So their expectations, yes, it certainly has risen. And I guess it's given me a little bit more confidence that, yeah, this guy is that good. He's not quite Regis Benn level for me, but he's going to make an impact right away because he's built for it, Joe. He's talented enough, and he's strong enough.
Yeah, for me, it's just been how they've talked about him. Like, this staff hasn't – Brett Bielema says a lot of names, especially freshmen. When we talk with him, we know why. He likes to recruit and pump up the in-state stuff. But they've been pretty measured by my read in how they publicly talk about their freshmen and what their roles are going to be. And it just seems like that's not been the case with Malik. They have not said freshman All-American. He sure has.
George has been saying, I have to temper his expectations, but George is also very excited about him.
Right. So I think that's what's kind of changed for me, is just to hear how they've spoken about him, mm-hmm. how Isaiah Williams has spoken about him, Casey Washington has spoken about him. That's what's changed it for me. But I still do find myself, like, with my foot on the brakes, like, this feels weird to go too far down the statistical predictions with him, but I'm starting to open up a little bit more to what his role could be.
If we set the over under, what would we set it at? Like, what is the expectation
for yards?
Yeah, because for, like, Isaiah, it'd probably be like 899.5 for me. Like, I think he's mm-hmm. in for that kind of year. Pat Bryant would probably be 499.5 for me.
324.5.
I was about to, yeah. I was like, 299 feels a little low. Yeah. And Casey would be a close, similar number. I'd probably put like 299.5 for him. Hank Beatty catches would be an interesting one. Like 19.5 24.5, something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do want to ask, what's our over-under on wide receiver touchdown receptions?
What was last it last year?
Last year it was 9?
Man, that seems
9. Like, yeah, 5 for Isaiah Williams, 2 for Pat Bryant, 2 for Brian Hightower.
How many of those like were thrown beyond the line of scrimmage too?
Don't matter. Doesn't change the stat.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think like 3
Isaiah
or
Isaiah Williams, I would say had
3 or 4 of them. Yeah, 3 or 4 of them, yeah. At least I think. Boy.
So I would set, I mean, the way we're talking, I think we'd have to set it over this. So let's set it not far over. 9.5, 10.5.
That is the whole key of this offense. Like, their offense moved the ball last year. It's about scoring touchdowns. They got to score touchdowns. And, yeah, I'd set the over-under 10.5, 11.5.
I don't know that I would feel comfortable going much higher than 10.5. I think 10.5 is a good number. Because, like,
I'd go over if you gave me 10. I'd probably not bet it if it were at 11.5.
Well, what's the fun in that, Jeremy?
Because I think Isaiah's good for 6 or 7. Pat Bryant's good for a couple. I think Elzy's going to get one or a couple. Yeah. 11.5, I wouldn't bet. 10.5, I'd go the over.
I think that's probably fair. That's probably where I'm at. This we should probably do season over-unders at some point, by the way.
Yeah, we will.
Like, write them down.
Yeah. This is one of the more fun positions to talk about because the expectation's actually higher, right? The expectation rises with this group, and you know, it's up to Barry Lunney, Luke Altmaier to get to most of them, maybe John Paddock at some point. So there's talent in this room now. Let's take a moment and tell you guys about Homefield. They're a premium collegiate apparel brand based in Indianapolis. They emphasize their commitment to creating incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs. They feature a growing collection of over 150 colleges to choose from, including, of course, the University of Illinois. Homefield designs are super unique because they delve into the archives and history of each school using unique logos and iconic moments to create thoughtfully designed apparel. They're all about authenticity and nostalgia. And if you go to homefieldapparel.com right now, you'll see that they did that with their Illini gear. The Script Illinois, it's as good as anything, right? Like, they have that there. The Ringer tee with the orange. Our boy Brad Evans loves that one. The 2005 Illini basketball logo. Oh, that brings back good memories. Or the Flying Illini logo from the 80s. I got a Flying Illini shirt they sent me. It is awesome. And the other thing about this, I'm telling you guys, they are so comfortable. They're not these boxy tees that itch. They are the form-fitting and soft, comfortable shirts. So give them a look. It's not the typical Illinois gear you usually see. You can find them at homefieldapparel.com, where you can see their selection of colleges available. And guess what? Our listeners at Illini Inquirer get 15% off their first order with discount code Illini23. So go to homefieldapparel.com, get 15% off your first order using discount code Illini23. It's the perfect apparel to get you ready for the upcoming season. So check them out at homefieldapparel.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's flip to tight end, Joey. And I think the storyline here is, you know, Tipper Iman had a good last year, but Illinois must replace two high-rep rotation players. And Luke Ford, who I know didn't live up to expectations, but was still a big part of the offense, especially as a blocker. And Michael Marques, who had a sneaky good year last year. Most receiving yards among these tight ends, I believe. A couple touchdowns. At least he was
second most behind Tip.
He was really close to Tip. Yeah. Was really close to Tip, and yeah, a couple touchdowns. they got to replace those guys. So I have a really high confidence level in Tip Ryman and what he brings. He just gets better and better every year. I don't think we should overlook the jump that guy has made in 3 years under Brett Bielema to go from walk-on that Rod Smith liked, and kudos to Rod Smith for finding him, to all of a sudden he's on the Mackey Award list. Now, he's got to prove himself as a pass catcher. We'll get into that. But the leaps he's taken, what he's turned himself into, like, this is what we thought Luke Ford would be. Like, I don't think we should overlook that Tip Ryman proved himself as a good Big Ten tight end, and I think he's going to take another step this year. But now, can Griffin Moore, can Tanner Arkin, can Henry Boyer give them some depth and give them what they need at a position they use a lot? I've said the stat before, but they use 1.3 tight ends per snap. Like, so they use a lot of double tight ends. They use tight ends, I know, maybe not as much in the passing game as people want, but it's an important part of this offense.
It is, and the big storyline is who steps in for Luke Ford, who steps in for Michael Marquez. I think Griffin Moore's one, and it's a different element. I'm excited to get to that and talk about that.
Yeah.
And then for that second spot, and don't think of this positionally, right? Like, just right now we're talking just like rotationally. In the last year, the rotation was Tip Ryman, Luke Ford, Michael Marquez. So who is in that rotationally? It's somewhere between Henry Boyer, Tanner Arkin. I think those are probably the two, behind Griffin Moore. I think those are probably the two best candidates, right?
Oh, absolutely. Henry Boyer's built like Ford. Just incredibly long, strong, physical. Robbie Disher loves him. The mentality there, like, when Tip's gone, Henry Boyer's going to be, I think, the number one tight end of this group. And Tanner Arkin seems to be taking a step. Like, he came from Colorado State. I didn't notice him much in the spring.
He was limited late.
Yeah, he's he looks like a physical blocker. I think he's more of the blocking type, and H-back type, I would think. But Griffin Moore is really the X factor, and let's get into this. The big question, will this group be more of a factor in the passing game? I wrote a story on Tip Ryman. He's working on it. That's been the focus of his offseason. He really studied Sam Laporta a lot, and I think he'll get better. I don't know if he'll ever be a great pass-catching tight end, dynamic threat, but I do think he can get better with his hands, adjusting to the ball. I think was his biggest thing was down-to-field passes, and I think getting him better in the red zone. Like, again, scoring touchdowns. Like, Tommy DeVito didn't go to him a lot. I think the tight ends have to be a factor there. But you've talked with Griffin Moore a lot. This guy, I didn't know, Joey, if he was ever going to make an impact in the program. And you got a new tight ends coach in there, and Griffin Moore just got opportunity and has seemed to make the most of it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what his on-the-field impact would be. He has always been a guy since he committed that was going to be send every official visitor who comes to Champaign to Griffin Moore's house. So I didn't know on the field what he was going to do.
Great program guy. Great program guy, yeah.
Absolutely. And the bowl game helped him. It gave him confidence. It was one catch. So, like, someone might hear that and think, really? One catch? But, like, to do that finally, after all of that time he had spent kind of waiting for that and working to that, that gave him confidence. This guy, he doesn't lack confidence in his ability as a pass catcher. He said, I'm not worried about that. He said, the bowl game, I feel like I showed I can block better than people give me credit for, because I know that's been a question mark of my game. He's reshaped his body a little bit, lost a couple pounds, 8 pounds of fat, I think, added a couple pounds of muscle. He looks different. Yeah. He looks different than we saw him a year ago.
You mentioned who he looks like frame-wise, now they switched
Daniel to number Barker. It's Daniel Barker. Now, okay. I don't know if it's the fact that he's wearing 81 now instead of 43 that he wore. But I do see some physical, and someone I talked to said, I thought the same. I didn't want to, like, I didn't say it, but I thought the same when I saw him for the first time with that number. But he is the X factor, because he's probably their best down the field receiving threat, which we think has been lacking at this position for a little bit here now, really since Daniel Barker had a couple of his seasons. So can Griffin Moore come close to, I don't want to say replicating, but can he add that to this wide receiver room? Because I think that's what it's missing.
I think what gets overlooked is, because every year Illinois fans hear they're going to use the tight end more. It's just being more effective. And to be honest with you, like, the last 2 years have been pretty solid. When you put it all together, because they play three of them, In 2021, they had 7 touchdowns from their tight ends. 38 catches, 389 yards. That's not getting all Big Ten honors, but 7 touchdowns from your tight ends, and they block well. It's pretty good. Last year, 39 receptions for 419 yards. The 39 receptions were the most of the last, I think, 8-9 years. 419 yards is the most since 2019 when they had 423. Tip Riemann's 19 receptions were the most for an Illinois tight end since Lou Dorsey in 2019. I know Daniel Barker had 18 in the COVID shortened year, so that might be a little bit different. Like, Daniel Barker was the most talented guy they've had here in recent years as a pass catcher, but they are getting slightly better, and they're so important in the blocking game. They're so important as a – Henry Boyer told me, like, we are the last line. Like, we are the dump-off option. Like, we have to take advantage of those opportunities. So I don't think they're terrible at tight end, but you would like, for me especially, in that red zone. Like, they got enough receivers, enough running backs. They got playmakers. You just need to reliably catch the ball when it's thrown to you, and that didn't happen enough last year down the field. But also, you got to score in the red zone. Like, and tight ends are a big part of that.
Yeah, they are. And it's the biggest, one of the bigger stories offensively is red zone offense and improving that. And I think those guys and having some big running backs healthy and available will go a long way in improving that if they're able to improve it. Yeah, just more passing game, Jeremy. Like, that's what I keep coming back to. That's what it is for me. We know they can block, and we know they're important in that. Like, I don't want to look over the fact of how important they are in that role within what they want to do offensively, but like, stats are stats, right? And improving in that passing game is a big deal. And look, I mean, he'll tell you this. Tip Riemann left some to be desired out there down this. He'll tell you that. I don't think he would hide behind that. He spent the whole offseason trying to fix it.
He didn't have a catch beyond 10 yards. Him and DeVito were 0-7 on those, right? And he had 2 of them that were drops, and some of them that just he wasn't able to adjust. And I think that comes with reps. I do. Again, I don't think he'll ever – he's not the most dynamic athlete, so I don't know if he'll ever be great at it. But if Griffin Moore can help you there and Tip Riemann gets a little bit better. Like, last year, there were 419 receiving yards. You broke this down, Joey, in your position primer. 39 catches was 10th in the Big Ten among Big Ten tight ends. And there was a group that was – the bottom half was all basically the same. So 7 through 14 wasn't much different. 419 yards was 9th, and targets was 12th with 55. So I would think that goes up a little bit, but I think that shows you that Tommy DeVito didn't really trust those guys a ton, that they were going to make plays.
No, and some of it is like the way the expectations were. Like, when Brett Bielema got hired and when Barry Lunny got hired, the expectation was tight ends to the moon, right? Because they've had success there and they've developed players there. And that just hasn't come to fruition yet. And that's not to say – so you're weighing that against production.
Yeah.
Right, like, that's not to say these tight ends haven't been passably good, haven't been okay. There is some to be desired, but I think they come in, those coaches come in, and you think, that's going to be it. That's going to be one of the passing game calling cards, and that's just, one, probably the game's evolved a little bit from that, and two, there's not the talent right now in that room. There's no Hunter Henry in that room right now.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say that. There's not a Hunter Henry. Like, that can't be the expectations. Probably not a Lance Kendricks. Is there a Jeremy Sprinkle? Yeah, I think so. Like, the guy he had at Arkansas after Henry. They've had some Travis Beckham. I don't know if they have a guy like that. But they just don't have as explosive of a guy like that I see, along with the size. But I do think Tip Riemann's going to have a chance at the NFL. NFL scouts are paying attention to him. And Henry Boyer is a really interesting long-term prospect. So let's get into the expectations, Joey. Let's set an expectation. What would you set the receptions, receiving yards, touchdown, over-unders at here?
Okay, I know you said a lot of numbers, so let me recap.
Last year, 39 receptions. Would you set the receptions at, like, 41.5?
Yeah, I cannot go that much over that.
I agree.
Griffin Moore changes it a little bit. Griffin Moore's probably worth those 2.5 receptions, but I don't know that I would go that much over. Would you take the over?
No. I wouldn't bet it. I think that's about right. Receiving yards, I would go over under 449.5.
I don't don't think I would bet. I don't like giving my money away. I'm not right. So like gambling's hard, even hypothetical
but,
money.
But if you're hesitating, I think these are good numbers. Like I think This is really setting the good expectation. Touchdowns, this is my number. Like get to 5, please. Like 4.5 would probably be my number.
Yeah, I would probably take the over on that.
We're thinking Altmaier's throwing for some touchdowns here.
Yeah, okay.
10.5 for the receivers. Maybe a running back gets in there on a screen pass.
That's a good point. So maybe
we didn't do that. We didn't do the over unders with Luke Altmaier. So I guess we should set the over under for Luke Altmaier.
We need time. We'll do it in the over under.
But yeah, I was thinking Luke Altmaier's touchdown over under is probably gonna be 16.5, 17.5. We're gonna set it at based on our conversations here.
Well, we've kind of backed ourselves into having to do that now, haven't we?
Yeah, I think Tip Riemann can be 250. Give me 3 touchdowns. Griffin Moore, can you get to 200? Can you be a 150 to 200 guy? Get a couple
and a
big
touchdown.
Yeah, get a big couple catches. Then Henry Boyer gets a couple of those dropdowns. Tanner Arkin gets a couple of those dropdowns. I think that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do you have a sleeper? I have a sleeper in the tight end room.
Go for your boy.
Ben Schultz. And I'm not saying he's going to have a super productive year, but they like his physicality coming over from the defensive side. It sounds like he's picking it up quickly. I'm kind of circling that Michael Marquez role in that rotation for that Michael Marquez role. I think there's options ahead of him for that role, and we've talked about them. But if you see him on the field, I don't know that I would be totally flipped. Probably more special teams. I would say it's more special teams right now. But he's a guy who has at least gotten a bit of attention since moving over. Now, we say that there's not a lot of guys in that room.
Yeah.
So, like, number-wise. So, obviously, he's going to be in that mix.
The depth chart, Tip Riemann will be a starter. I think Griffin Moore, basically a half starter there. I'm really fascinated to see how they use Arkin and Boyer, how they rotate those guys. I could really see Boyer on the goal line package. When they want to go double tights and really stuff it down to people's throats, which could give them some touchdown opportunities, right? On a play action rollout or something like that. But he's a really physical blocker. Guys behind him, Nathan Gwynn, freshman, needs about a year or two of strength gains, but dynamic in the passing game. Like if you think about a guy that could be, has the potential to be one of the better pass catchers of the Brett Bielema era at tight end, I think Gwynn in a couple years has that potential. He's just a longer-term developmental prospect. Owen Anderson, committed to Illinois over Michigan State and some others, just hasn't developed to this point. He hasn't had a ton of strength that I've seen, but I did talk with Robbie Disher, asked him about Owen the other day, and he said it's come a little more difficult for him, but that he has had a good training camp. So those are the guys towards the bottom of the depth chart along there. And then, you know, Carson Conkle, Tanner Hollinger coming in behind those guys. Conkle's a dynamic player. Hollinger kind of Tip Riemann-esque, I think, with his work ethic, his physicality, his length. I think he'll fill out, but those guys will be longer term. But that tight end group, I feel a little bit better about longer term. I just think short term, it's a solid group. If you can get a solid group out of this one, I do think it's one of your lower ceiling position groups. But Tip Riemann gives me a lot of faith, man. I love what he brings to the team.
Can I throw a very, very, very hypothetical your way?
Yeah.
And I hate to say this because I don't know that this is going to happen, certainly. Let's say Tip Riemann has a good year, like good enough in the passing game combined with his blocking, and he makes the leap. He certainly can. I think Brett Bielema has mentioned the possibility of that, but I think he would have to have a good year in the passing game to do that.
If he had like 350 yards or something like that as a tight end, I could see that.
So if he does that, which would mean the tight ends have produced, or he at least, do you try to marry that with your past success and portal your way to a tight end, or do you continue that in the kind of natural development behind there?
Yeah, it's a great question. I just pulled up the 2023 guys who are drafted, and I'm just looking at these 40 times. I just don't know if Tip Riemann has some of these in him. Like even a guy like Darnell Washington ran a 4.64 at 2.67, 2.65. The guy probably closest is Cameron Latu, 6.4, ran a 4.78. Like most of these guys are Payne Durham, but he was such a good pass. Like, Payne Durham ran a 4.87, but you knew when you were throwing it up to him, as Illinois found out, he was going to catch the ball unless Sidney Brown nearly took his head off, right? Like,
that's... But he still had some on Sidney.
What's that?
He still had catches on Sidney.
Yes.
Like, he was a very, very good pass catcher.
Yeah. So I get the hypothetical. I think Tip Ryan is going to be here another year. I do.
I'm with you there.
So I don't think that's going to have to be a question. And I didn't know if Griffin Moore would be here for the last year or two of his scout. Like, you know, he's on his fifth year now. Like, it wasn't a guarantee that he could be here. And he's shown enough that he will. So you could have all those guys back next year. But if Tiff Ryman left, yes, I would consider it. I would really look at whether it's a JUCO or whether it's a grad transfer. Yes, absolutely. Unless Tanner Arkin or Henry Boyer just really blew your socks off in practice this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if Tip Ryman does come back, you glue Tanner Hollinger and Carson Conkle to him for a year.
Yeah, the way these guys talk about Tip as a leader, you don't hear that a lot. Like, the way they talk about him is he's such a good influence on that room. I mean, it's really just a great story, but I'm just interested to see what he can do this year. Interested to see what this group, because it's an X factor group, right? Like, if this group can overachieve our expectations, that's huge for this offense.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I don't know.
My expectations aren't high.
No,
not in the passing game. Like, Tip Ryman's a really good blocker. I expect Henry Boyer to be a good blocker and Arkin to be a good blocker. And let's be honest, that's most of their job. Most of their job is being a sixth or seventh blocker. And we should probably mention with the receivers, Casey Washington and Pat Bryant are really good blockers. I expect Malik Ellis to be pretty good at it too. That's going to be really important for those running backs. And as much as we want, the passing game has to take another level, this team still needs to run the football incredibly well to be successful.
And you need those guys to do it.
Yep. So, anything else? Tight ends, wide receivers, any final thoughts?
I got nothing. I do want to say, I know we talked about this the other day, and on current Illini news, Doug Kramer? You see, there was an injury the other day, Jeremy, to Cody Whitehair. I don't know the severity of it.
Oh, no.
Well, right, for you. That's...
I'd like to keep my quarterback healthy this year. How about Sidney Brown pulling the trigger and knocking heads off, Joey? That's what he does.
What he does, man. He is going to be a favorite in Philadelphia. Oh. Real quick, a quote from Matt Eberflus. I don't have an update on Cody yet, so we're still looking at it. And Kramer does a nice job. Kramer sets the protections. He sets the calls in the run game. Uber smart. He's quick, athletic. He does a lot of things well.
Dang. You were telling me, like, you've kept up on the Bears news more than I have. You were telling me yesterday.
My best friend really hits me in the head with Bears news.
You told me yes. I thought Lucas Patrick was the backup. I haven't been paying attention. I've been so
interesting. He was not named.
Yes.
We don't know. I don't know. I don't want to, like, paint this. I don't follow the Bears. I don't have the insight on the Bears. But it sounds like Doug Kramer kind of in that mix there. We'll see what Cody Whitehair. Obviously, if you're a Bears fan, if you're Cody Whitehair, you don't want that to be serious.
No.
But interesting what that could possibly mean for Doug Kramer.
Yeah, Tony Adams has had a hell of an offseason. I'm waiting for the Tony Adams on Hard Knocks.
Need more.
Or Justin Hardy.
I've
seen Justin Hardy getting the scrap. He was in the middle of that scrap, which does not surprise me. That's how he made it in the NFL, man. But, yeah, I'd like to see a little bit of those guys. Kendrick Green playing fullback, interesting. Really interesting. Interesting to see if he makes that roster. Yeah, it's going to be a big what, couple weeks, cut-down days, end of August, down to 53.
Sure.
So there's a lot of Illini fighting for jobs, whether it's, you know, Kendall Smith, Mio Ifor seems like he's got a good chance, but you know, a guy like Roderick
Alex
Perry.
Palcheski.
Yeah, Alex Palcheski, Alex Pilstrom. Seems like Vidarian Lowe is doing pretty well at training camp from the last time I saw it. So it's nice to see these guys, man. We covered them all their careers. It's good to see more of these guys get their opportunities and for someone to really impress. I mean, you know, Sidney, I'm not afraid to say it now. Like, I don't know if I've had a better relationship covering a guy. Not many covering a guy than Sidney Brown. Like, Nick Allegretti's up there. Probably Isaiah Williams is up there. But personally, it's just awesome to see him succeed and make an impact. Because, yeah, the Brian Dawkins comparisons I thought were a little unfair early, but I can eventually see Sidney ingratiating himself like that, the way he plays.
Yeah, getting to know him, knowing his story, that video the Eagles put out of him signing his lease to, I'm assuming a lease, I don't know if he bought it or not, but moving into a really beautiful apartment. I mean, this thing was sweet. Good for, like, that was so cool, knowing his story, knowing how he kind of got to this point. It was awesome, man. Yeah.
All right, thank you for listening to the Illini Choir podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Hit the like button on our YouTube channel if you're watching this over there. Subscribe to us. Hit the notifications bell as well. For Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. We'll be back later next week with my favorite podcast we're going to do, Joey, in this position preview series, the Big Uglies, the O-line, and the D-line, which is where this team's going to win games, right?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say specialists. It's a shame. More love for specialists.
I like interviewing specialists as much as anybody because they talk a lot.
We know you're an offensive and defensive line guy at heart, Jeremy. We know we can't take that.
I got to own it.
Can take the kid out of the football. I don't know.
Can't take the 5'9", 180-pound offensive lineman out of me. All right, everybody have a great day. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Choir podcast.
Bye, everybody.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.